last Sunday that there's biblical counseling sessions available in the church. Those are done on Wednesday by appointment. We also have home visitation. And how many have ever had your house prayed over or blessed? It's something that I wholly endorse. It's right out of Isaiah. We're not making this up. It's out of Isaiah. And so if you want your house blessed and prayed over and just sprinkled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, we do that. And that's done by appointment also. So if you're interested in, there's sheets back on the back table where you can get. And Jim and Susan are going to be heading this ministry up in the church. For counseling sessions, if you want counseling, you have to contact Susan personally. We're not going to have a list out there of people who want counseling, okay? Geez, what does Sally want counseling for today? Well, I figure she needs that. Hey, bless God. So, if you want counseling, you got to talk personally to Susan. But if you want prayer in your house, you want your house blessed. Anybody ever seen the power of God blessing a house? Take a look around the room. I've seen it stop fires. Literally, I've seen it stop fires. I've seen prayer cloths stop fire. I've seen it in my own house, personally, in my children's bedroom. So it's real. It's the power of God. The Apostle Paul talked about that. He sent handkerchiefs that would heal people and the power of God where he couldn't go. So we just want you to know that ministry is available. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit after church. If you have any questions, we're going to have time of questions and answers about that. So I want to ask you something. The Aaronic blessing, or the Aaronic priesthood blessing, which is the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord lift His countenance upon you, the Lord give you His peace. How many have known that for Christendom, most of the time and most of the history of the church, that has been considered a Jewish prayer? How many understand that? And so because it has been considered a Jewish prayer and an Old Testament prayer, it hasn't been introduced in the church until lately. A few years ago, I was in my office and I was just meditating, praying, and the Lord began to deal with me. And He said, I want you to begin to speak this blessing over your congregation on Sunday. And I just was like, okay, Lord, I'll do that. I've never done that before. I've never seen it done before. And the Lord said, I want you to start doing this over your congregation. And it's something God is beginning to do all over the church. You're seeing more and more guys do this. And I told you last Sunday, John Hagee, he's copied me on this, and I wrote him a letter and told him, stop it. I said, I don't preach your stuff. But God is getting ready to show His people off in the earth. God is getting ready to show His people off. In fact, there's a place in Revelations that say that heaven waits for the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our God. I don't know about you, but in my own personal life, I want the kingdom of God to become the kingdom of my children's world. I want the kingdom of God to become the kingdom of their lives and their jobs and their marriages and their children and my grandchildren. I want the kingdom of God's impartation in that. In Isaiah 52:7, it says, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news and publish the gospel of peace. Blessed are the feet of those. And we relegate that to, well, that's for Jesus, and that's for the disciples, and that's for the pastors. But the Bible says that God has made us kings and priests unto Him. You know, my primary goal is to make you a disciple who is out sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world. That's my job, is to grow you and mature you into people that become disciples and disciplined ones. And the reality is, in the church in America today, you don't see much discipline anymore. You just don't see it. You don't. Now, don't get mad at me, because I'm telling you the truth. You don't see discipline in the church anymore. When I grew up, we built our lives and our Sunday around church. We built our week around church. How many built you? When you grew up, you built your week around. I didn't build church around my week. I didn't build my church. Well, I was going to pray. I built my week around church. And the reality is, in that, I built my life around God. I didn't build God around my life. And so, in the process of what God is wanting to do, is how many know that God wants impartation in your life? How many know that God has good for you? How many, by show hands, actually believe God has good for you? Actually, believe that God has good. Amen. Praise God. Y'all been reading your Bible or either listening to the sermon, I don't know, but God has good for you. I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. They are for peace. They are for peace. Everybody say they are for peace. So, in Isaiah, he said, blessed are those, and that includes you, not just Pastor Steve, that bring the gospel of peace. In Ephesians, and I want you to turn there because we look at this, that we say that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But it's shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everybody say of peace. That's in Ephesians 6:15. I want you to turn there and read that. So, God wants you to bring the good news. Blessed are those. Everybody say blessed. Are the feet of those that bring the gospel of peace. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:15 that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How many know that the world out there is looking for peace? I'm telling you, they are trying to find peace in every situation, in anything, they try in everything. I'm amazed at this new thing called vaping. I don't even really know what it is, but it's amazing what the devil comes up with, try to kill people in relation to people trying to find something that's going to make them happy, going to give them peace or tranquility or something. But it is just amazing how the whole world is seeking peace, and the Bible, the Prince, has given us who is the maker of peace, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And so the reality is the only peace you're going to find is going to be in Jesus Christ. The only peace you're going to find in your life is going to be in His Word. So, I want to look back into Numbers chapter 6, Ephesians 6:15. That's for you. I know where it is and I've read it, so I'm good. But I want to go back into Numbers because a lot of people don't even know where this is at. Number 6. So, everybody has thought this is a Jewish blessing. I mean, there are literally people who get upset with me as a pastor if I even say the word Jewish. And I'm serious. If I even mention that word. But Jesus said salvation is of the Jew. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. And so I want to look at this, quote, Jewish blessing. And I want to blow that norm out of the water and that particular mindset out of the water because I want to look at the origin of it. Numbers 6:22. And the Lord spoke unto Moses. Who spoke unto Moses? Was it Moses speaking to God or God speaking to Moses? It was God speaking to Moses. It wasn't Moses telling God, hey, we ought to bless the people. This is what he ought to say. It was the Lord said to Moses, this is what I want you to tell the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, unto his son, saying, this and on this wise. That means, and this is how I want you to do it. This is how you shall bless the children of Israel, saying, the Lord bless thee. Who's doing the blessing? Moses, Aaron, or the Lord?
The Lord.
It's not Jewish, it's Jesus.
Yes.
It's not Jewish, it's Jesus.
Yes.
It's not Jewish, it's Yeshua.
Yes.
This whole prayer is about the advent of Yeshua and what He wants to bring into our lives.
Yes.
The Bible says He's the Prince of Peace, amen?
Yes.
So, God said, Moses, you do it. God said, Moses, this is what you say. So this is a prayer directly from heaven. And for 2,000 years, the church wanted nothing to do with these words because they were Jewish. And we've missed the blessing of the Lord and the promises that come out of this that God has for us because it was a Jewish thing. How many believe the Old Testament is real today? Okay. That's Jewish. How many believe the Ten Commandments are valid and real today?
Yes.
They're Jewish, or maybe they're from God. God just had to have a people working in the earth, people. No, the Ten Commandments are godly. The Ten Commandments are godly. The Aaronic priesthood is godly. Men have put this and relegated this into a situation in the church because of bias and said, well, that's not for the church. I've got news for you. In the beginning, God so loved the world. God created the heavens and the earth. It's all Jesus. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, it's all Jesus.
Yes,
that's right. Amen.
All Jesus. So, away with this notion that this is just for Jewish people. Away with that notion. This is for me. This is for you. I've been grafted into the promises of Abraham. This is for the saints of God. This is what God has for you. So, apparently, we've been missing out on blessings for 2,000 years. Think about this. In every Hebrew home, every Friday night, this was spoken over the children. By the laying on of hands. So when the Lord told me, He said, I want you to do this over your church and over the people that I've brought. He said, I also want you to do it over your children. So I do it. I'm making up for lost time for all the years I didn't do it. So I do it every day over my children. And I'm making up lost time for you, so I do it every day over you. And my question to you as kings and priests of God, are you doing it over your children? That's my question to you today. Are you doing it over your children? I'm just asking you, it's a simple question. Are you doing it over your children? So it didn't come from Moses. It didn't come from Aaron. It came from the Lord God Almighty of Israel. Al Shaddai. It came from Al Shaddai. Everybody say Al Shaddai.
Al Shaddai.
The Almighty One, the All-Sufficient One, Al Shaddai. That's where it came from. So I want to reread this so you'll understand the spirit of this, and where I'm going with this today is the Lord said to Moses, everybody say the Lord said, speak unto Aaron, say speak unto Aaron.
Speak unto Aaron.
And this is what God said. This is what I want you to tell them. The Lord bless you and keep you. I like that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. They shall put My name, Al Shaddai, upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Amen.
So how many want to be blessed by the Lord?
Amen.
How many know that is your biblical spiritual right? To be blessed by the Lord. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This peace is not the absence of hostility, but it's the expression of divine relationship and identity. God is saying, you're mine. God is saying to you, you're mine. God is saying to you, Mark, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Say, I'm His. It represents identity. When Jesus was baptized and He came up out of the water, what happened? The Bible said the heavens opened up and a voice from heaven came, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is interested in identity. And the identity He wants you to have and the ones that He wants each of us to have is we are His sons and His daughters. He has bought us. We are not His own. He has paid a price for us and we belong to Him. And the reality is, if I belong to this living God of Israel, and this is His prayer, wouldn't God want to manifest this in my life?
Yes.
So I asked you last Sunday, how many of you want good for your kids?
Amen.
Everybody raise their hand, praise God, and I'm telling you where you got that from God because you're made in His image. Okay, how many want God for their kids?
Absolutely.
Amen. With God comes good. With God comes good. So today I'm going to go deeper into this Hebrew prayer of understanding this was something that God gave and God needed a language that He could explain it to the fullness of what it really means. I showed you the Hebrew alphabet, and in the Hebrew alphabet, letters, each letter has a number. And it's an interesting language in the earth in that God gave this particular language to Abraham. This is the Hebrew language that God gave. And if my guys find it, well, there it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know that when Jesus comes back, what do you think we'll be speaking when Jesus comes back?
Hebrew.
We'll be speaking Hebrew. We'll be speaking Hebrew. It's in your Bible. And the reason that the Hebrew language is so powerful is every letter has a number and every number has a letter, and so it corresponds, and there's a deeper root meaning to the words in the Hebrew than the words in English. There's no words in English that have a number attached to it. But in the Hebrew, Every letter has a number, every number has a letter. And in this, God was saying, there's a way I'm going to describe how I work in the earth. There's a way I'm going to describe the plan of salvation. And how many know it took a language that only God could bring, and it took a language of heaven that said, this is this glorious salvation that Paul says, do you know how great of a salvation God has afforded you? How many know how great the salvation that God has afforded you? My goodness, the Apostle Paul talks about it. So, out of that, I want to look specifically at this psalmic letter, and its relation to us in means support. And in this particular letter, you'll see a picture of a priest, and he's standing there by this letter. And the reality is God says, I want to support your life. God wants to support you. God wants to support you. God wants to be your support, your strength, your high tower, your buckler, your shield. I'm not talking about go to work for you. I'm talking about support you. There's a big difference. You understand what I'm saying? So how many would like God to support them? I want the all-sufficient one to support me. So in this prayer, God is saying, this is what I want to do in your life. And there's some parallels in the New Testament that Jesus gave, and then there's a parallel that John the Apostle gave in 3 John. So, the prayer is amazing in that it is given corporately, but is received individually. So, when the prayer was given, the Lord bless you and keep you, that was to the corporate nation of Israel, as they were standing, and you had to stand for this blessing. But in the Hebrew, and it's the only language that really describes this, that God is saying, I want to bless you and keep you, and He was saying, I want to bless you, Mark, and keep you. So when the children of Israel stood for the blessing, they knew He was speaking to the whole congregation, but He was speaking individually of what God's heart was towards me. So it's explained in the Hebrew. The Lord bless you, Mark, and keep you, Mark. And the whole time that Aaron was saying this, you knew it was Kenna. You knew it was Cindy. You knew it was James. And so it's a corporate blessing that is given, but it is individually received. And so everybody stood for this blessing, and I'll get to that later, why you stood for this blessing, because it's really important. You could not receive the blessing sitting down. And I'll let you know why in a minute. So guys, let's go to the Lord bless you and keep you, and this is where the priests would come over Israel, and they would do this, and this is the letter Shin. I can't do it. I broke this finger playing football. I can't get over. But they would do this, and it represented the letter Shin, which looks like a W. And this is where they would pronounce the name of the Lord, El Shaddai, over the people. I will put my name upon them. I will put my name upon them. That's what it says. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Everybody say, God wants to put His name on me.
God wants to put His name on me.
Let me tell you why that's so important, because Satan wants to put a number on you. God says, I'll put a name on you. Satan says, I'll put a number on you. That's the difference between the two kingdoms. God says, I'll put my name on you. Satan says, I'll put a number on you. So, God desires to have us in His presence. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's singular. It's individual. So, as we look at this, we see that the blessing grows in intensity. The Lord bless you and keep you. Three letters, 15 words. 5 words, 20 letters, 7 words, 25 letters. And in this we see that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you. And we can see it is growing in ascension unto the Lord and what He's saying. God said, I want to bless you. I want to doubly bless you. I want to super bless you. I will multiply the multiplying. I will bless the blessing is what God told us in Hebrews. So everybody say, multiply the multiplying. And I will bless the blessing. That's what God told Abraham. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is the gospel of peace. Yes. This is the gospel of peace, brothers and sisters. And this is what God requires. So, you see that symbol there that looks like this. And what they were doing is the letter Shin, which represents El Shaddai. And that was what they would put on the mezuzah. They would put on the doorpost there as you'd go into their homes. And it said, God is protecting this house. God is the God of this house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord El Shaddai. So, anybody remember a guy named Spock? He lived long and prosper. Anybody remember that? Guess where he got it? He's Jewish. Leonard Nimoy was Jewish. And he used to, that was saying he was a Vulcan or something on the show. I was a sports guy, so we never got into the Star Trek. We always called them Trekkies, and we didn't quite understand what they got about it, you know. But the reality, he would go live long and prosper. This is what he got. But as a Jewish person, he had seen that in his house. The Lord bless you and keep you, son. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and the Lord give you his peace. And he heard that every Friday night in his house, that God wants to bless. How many of your children know God wants to bless them? My children know God wants to bless them. They know it. Because his word says so. They know it now. They know God wants impartation in their life. They know God wants to be the king of their life. They know God has good for them. God has made this available to each and every one of us to be the progenitors in our homes, that we can give and share this blessing on our children, children. I want the blessing of God on my children. I want the blessing of God on my grandchildren. I want to see them up in heaven. I want to see them up there. So God said, this is something I want you to remember. And he said, I'm going to do it weekly in your life. And it's not Jewish, it's Jesus. Amen. It's directly from the throne of God. Amen? So have we settled that? The Lord said to Moses, not Moses said to the Lord, hey, we ought to bless these people. No, the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, this is how you're going to do it. And it's a blessing of ascension. By that I mean the blessing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the blessing is about support. It's a spiritual blessing that leads to physical blessing, spiritual blessing, mental blessing, physical blessing, psychological blessing. How many would like to know that you have a right mind in Christ? It's about getting a right mindset of understanding with God and who God is, and that God wants to be your friend and that God wants friendship. How many know that the Bible says Abram was a friend of God? We sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Anybody know that song? What a lovely song, what a wonderful song, but we truly have a friend in Jesus Christ. Amen. Abraham was a friend of God. So the Lord bless you. I just want to start right there. And now I'm just going to have to teach this because there's too much for me to preach it. So in 1 Chronicles 29:20, David said to the congregation, you can write these down and look these up. David said to the congregation, bless the Lord your God, and bow down their heads. Bless the Lord our God, and bow down your heads. In that word blessed, in the Hebrew, it means to kneel. Everybody say kneel. Kneel. So the way that Israel would bless the Lord is they would come in and they would kneel before the Lord God their Maker. And in the Hebrew, the word kneel means bless, and the word bless means kneel. So in Hebrew, the word bless is Baruch. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Bori Pri Hagafen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, the creator of the fruit of the vine. That's what Jesus prayed when he prayed the Last Supper. The Last Supper, when the Bible says, and he took the bread and he blessed it. Blessed are you, Lord God, who brings forth bread from the earth and who brings forth bread from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So it's amazing. In Hebrew, this means, bless means to kneel, and kneel means to bless. So if you want to bless God in your praise and worship, David said, let us come before our Lord and kneel before the Lord our Maker. Right? It's the same word in Psalms 95:6. So come, let us bow down and let us kneel. Everybody say kneel before the Lord our Maker. So in Hebrew, it's the same word for bless and kneel. The same word, Baruch. Everybody say Baruch. Baruch. Not Barak, Baruch. So, I didn't say nothing there. What are you laughing about? So, what about a blessing? What about a blessing? In Hebrew, it's Abrak. Abraka. Abraka. And it's coming to someone on bended knee. Coming to someone on bended knee. Now, the Bible clearly talks about some magi that came to see the baby Yeshua in the manger. Or the baby Yeshua in the house, it says. And the Bible says the first thing they did was what? Kneel. They fell before the Lord. He's just a baby. But the reason they're wise men is they know who the baby is. They know who the baby truly is, for they have seen his star. But the first thing they come to do is they come to bless the baby Jesus, and they get on their knees, and the Bible said they worship him, and then they open their treasuries unto the Lord. That's the greatest scripture on tithing there is, right there. It's one of the greatest scriptures on tithing there is, right there. Tithing is worship. Tithing is worship, and wise men know it. So when the wise men came, the Bible says they baruch, abraka. They bowed on bended knee before the Lord. And they fell down and worshipped him. So guess what? That's what it means in the Hebrew. Oh, let us come together. Let us sing before him. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's what bless means, to kneel. The Lord bless you and keep you. You know where I'm going with this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. That says the Lord has come and he has knelt before us. Oh, do you remember when he washed the disciples' feet?
Yes.
Does anybody know? That's in your Bible. He washed the disciples' feet. Yes, he did.
Yes.
What did he tell Peter? Get on your head and stand on your hands and I'll wash your feet up here? No, the Bible says he removed his raiment. That's what your Bible says. So that he could get down on his knees. And that's how you wash people's feet. You do it on your knees.
Yes.
You don't bend over. You do it on your knees. Everybody say you do it on your knees.
On your knees.
And now, the Creator of the universe, El Shaddai, now God, Emmanuel, God with us, is kneeling before Peter, who's going to... Oh, you're not going to really do that, are you, Peter? Deny me? But I'll still wash your feet. I'll still wash your feet. Say, he'll still wash your feet. He'll still wash your feet. I don't care what you've done. He'll still wash your feet. He washed Peter's feet before he denied him, but Jesus even knew Peter was going to deny him, and he still knelt down. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus came as a servant. The Bible says Jesus came as a servant to man. The Lord has come to us on bended knee. In John 13, 1 through 17, you can read the whole story. Peter said, oh, no, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. Jesus said, no, I need to do this. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Being God, not thought it not robbery to be equal with God, making himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant. And made in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So here's what Jesus did. He came and he humbled himself. And he washed Peter's feet, and he brought the gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I have a gift for you, Peter. God humbled himself. The Bible said Jesus humbled himself and was obedient even to the death of the cross. And it's the same exact word as kneel. That God said, the Lord bless you. God said, I will come and kneel before you. I will wash your feet and I will bring you the gift of salvation. Now you know what that means when it says, the Lord bless you. God brought me a gift. God has brought me a gift in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he has brought me the gift of salvation. And he had to humble himself. And he got on his knees. And he said, I will serve you as a servant. Even though we thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Say, the Lord bless me.
The Lord bless me.
God has humbled himself to man. The very man he created, God came as a baby. That's why the wise men knew. We're going to go worship, and we're going to go honor this baby that's about to save us. This baby is about to die for us. This is God's gift. And we're going to go worship him and bow down. So it says, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God said, I'll humble myself for you. God said, I did humble myself for you. And God said, I will bring the gift of salvation. that God would humble Himself to the lowly estate of man and become a servant of man. The Lord bless you. How many of you have ever served your children? Did you resent it or hate it? Why? Why? Because you love them. You love them. How many pray for your kids even when you don't like what they're doing? Why? Because you love them. You even give up things and fast and pray for your kids when they're not doing living the way you want, but you still love them. And you'll sacrifice for them. So the Lord bless you and keep you. What an interesting statement that God says, I want impartation in your life. May the Lord keep you. Everybody say, the Lord keep you. That comes from the Hebrew word keep, means shamar. It means to surround with thorns to protect you. The shepherds of Israel, the fences, they didn't have fence posts back there and all the kind of fencing we have. So they would get thorn bushes and they would create a fence of thorns and put the sheep inside the row of thorns. And the wolves and the cows, they didn't like the thorns. Anybody ever tried to get through something that really has some thorns on it? We got a bush here in Linden that has thorns on it. Man, they are brutal. They're about that long. And the shepherds of Israel would run the sheep in there. And then close it for the night. And then they could sleep, the sheep could sleep, and it was a wonderful peace. It was a wonderful rest. In fact, that same word, when God told Adam, I want you to tend the garden, He said, I want you to shamar the garden. He said, I want you to put a hedge of protection around the garden. Adam didn't do it. But the word shamar means to surround with thorns to protect you. Do you remember when Jesus Christ got crucified, they put a thorn of crowns on His head? Where did they put it?
On His head.
On His what?
Head.
A thorn of crowns around. He said, I'm going through this, but I got a thorn of crowns. I got a shamar around my mind. I am the Son of God. I'm about to bring redemption. They put thorns on me, but they don't know they protected my mind. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go to the cross. My Father's going to raise me from the dead, and I will be raised King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They put thorns there, but they didn't know they put a hedge around my mind. Do you know the battleground for your life is the mind? Paul says, it's with the mind you serve the Lord. God said, I want to surround your mind. I want to put a shamar around your mind. How many know what that helmet of salvation is? Yeah. It represents a shamar of God putting a thorn, a crown of thorns around your head. The thorns are not for you. They are to keep the enemy out.
Amen.
That's what they're for. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have sound minds. We have right minds. We have whole minds. We have transformed minds. Say, I've got a hedge around my mind. God put a shamar around my mind. The Lord keep you. The Lord shamar you. God is saying, I'm going to give you a defense because all the battles you have start in the mind. How many know that it's a mind game that Satan plays with you? When he went into the garden, what did he say to Eve? Hey, how you doing? No. He said, hey, what did God say? Mind game. He just wanted to know what she knew. What was in her mind about God? May the Lord shamar you and protect you. The crown of thorns is for the peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3, put it this way. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we can have that mind of Christ, the sound mind and the right mind. And that's the first wave. The Lord bless you and keep you. The second one is the Lord make His face shine upon you. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How many have the light of life?
Yes.
The light of life. I praise God for that. In Hebrew, it's the same word for light as to make His face shine. It's the same word. When God said, let there be light, it's the same word. Make His face shine upon you. What He's saying is God wants to look directly in your face. He is my great reward. He is my son and my shield. And what does it say in the Hebrew? God wants to look in you eyeball to eyeball. How many know that Jesus said the eyes are the window to the soul? I know for some of us trying to remember back when you first fell in love, And you got that look from her, or she got that look from you. The eyes told the whole story. Did anybody remember that? Amen. We'll stop right there. So, the Hebrew word for light is the same word as make His face shine upon you in Hebrew. God wants to look directly in your face. In other words, He said there's nothing between us. Our relationship is open. I can look you in the eye, you can look me in the eye. There's nothing between us. Make His face shine upon you. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face shine upon you. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22-24, the eyes are the lamp unto the body. The light of the body is the eye. If a thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. God says, I want you to look at me eye to eye so you can see the love in my eyes I have for you.
Amen.
Okay. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I got to get scripture out there, I guess. Okay. Say it with me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
That's what I want us to look at each other.
Yes.
I want to see you for who you are, and you see me for who I am.
Yes.
Open the eyes of my heart. Paul says, you open the eyes of my understanding. And that's what it's talking about in the Hebrew. Lord, let me see you, and let you see me as we have this relationship that is transparent between us. God wants you to see the love He has for you in His eyes. And of course, I'm talking spiritually there. So the Lord make His face shine upon you. That's what that means. Let's look eyeball to eyeball, eye to eye. Let me see your heart. Let me see your heart. Let you see my heart. So we can see it's getting bigger. The Lord be gracious unto you. That comes from the word gracious, comes from the Hebrew word kanan, and it means loving kindness. So the Lord give you loving kindness in your life. What did David say in Psalm 63:3? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Anybody know that scripture? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving... Where did David get this? Thy loving kindness. He remembered that prayer when he was a good one. When his daddy would come up and say, the Lord bless you and keep you, David. The Lord make His face shine upon you, David. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, David. I'm going to show you Hebrew writers that go back to this and refer to this time and time and time again. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And the best way to describe gracious, the word kanan in the Hebrew, is if somebody very magnanimous visited an orphanage, and he took pity on those that had no father or had no mother. I'll never forget when my mother passed away. I was down at the funeral home, and I had met with the director, and we were talking about my mom's funeral and everything. And I was sitting out there, and a guy came in, and we knew each other. We started talking, and I told him, my mother passed away, and he wanted to know her age, and he knew my mom, and he knew my dad had passed away, and he walked away. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, now you're an orphan, son. I had never been an orphan. So I said, Lord, did you hear that? He said, you're not an orphan. I'm a father to the fatherless. I'm your father. You've never been without a father. You'll never be without a father or a mother. I am God. I'm your husband. I'm your maker. I'm your father. I'm everything. But it just stunned me when he said that to me, and he walked away. I wanted to chase him down, but he left. I'm not an orphan. I've had a king visit me, and he came with kanan, loving kindness. Ephesians 1:5 says, He has predestined us to adoption as sons in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the word kanan, the best description of it is somebody going to an orphanage and finding somebody that they set their affection upon. And saying, I'm going to make you mine.
Yeah.
Lord, be gracious unto me.
Yeah.
God says, I want to be gracious unto you. You know, God is not willing that any perish. God's not willing that any perish, for God so loved the world. God's going to the orphanage, but not every orphan will take God. But I got news for you. I did.
Yeah.
I took Him.
Yeah.
I took Him. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
5 years old, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Anybody scared the living, you know what out of me. Jesus, I need you. I need your loving kindness. I knew that at 5 years old. God said, I see you in your pity, but I will set my love and my affection upon you. Hallelujah. Remember what I told you last week when James was talking at the Council of Jerusalem? The refuse of man. Wow. That's what we were before, the residue of men. So God has adopted us, of course, Paul in Galatians. Christ has been magnanimous. He's come to the orphanage and He's picked me up and He's picked you up. Amen. And He set His loving kindness upon us and He's made us family. But God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. God said, I did this when you were in the orphanage. You weren't worthy. You were dirty. You were filthy. But I picked you up and I made you mine. In Psalm 31:9, David said, Lord, I'm in trouble. Have mercy on me. He said, Lord, show me your kanon. Show me your loving kindness. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The difference between His face shine upon you and lift up His countenance upon you. What did God say to Cain after God called him out for his sin? He said, why has your countenance fallen? Fallen. He said, why are you scowling? He said, don't you know if you do right that God will be pleased with you? And what this means in the Hebrew, your countenance, God says, I want to be smiling at you when you come into my presence. Now, you know how you come into the presence of God? You come into the presence of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your works. I didn't do this week. I didn't do all this week. But the Bible says our best works is filthy rags. God said, when you come in my way through Jesus Christ and through the blood, God said, I'm smiling.
Yes.
God said, I'm smiling. Come on in, buddy. You're coming in the correct way. You can't just run up on God anyway. You've got to come His way. Jesus said, I am the only way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me and through that precious blood on the mercy seat. God said, when you do that, we're smiling.
Yes.
How many know that God understands you're a work in progress? You need to thank God He understands you're a work in progress. You need to understand that that's why God has hid you in Christ, so that He can be satisfied with you while He's working on you and growing you up. That's why you're hid in Christ Jesus and in His blood. Ooh, I'm going to buy this tape myself. This is good stuff. I might get myself saved today. Hallelujah. Because I want you to understand this. This is preached, or this is spoken over Jewish children their whole life. The church didn't touch it because it was Jewish. And God is saying, why do my people perish for a lack of knowledge? Why don't they know that I have a blessing for them and that there's power in words? The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Why are you speaking over your kids? Start speaking this every day. I speak this every day over my kids. Every day. Every day. Somebody needs to shout amen. I've seen the result of every day on this. I've seen it. Can you say amen? God said, when you come in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through His name, we're going to be smiling at each other. I want to smile at you. I want to smile at you. Do you remember when Jacob came down to Egypt and Joseph trots his two little boys out there and says, Daddy, hear my voice. And Manasseh and Ephraim, and Jacob went, and what did he do? Manasseh was here, Ephraim here, but Jacob swapped his hands and he put the right hand on Ephraim. We read that story and we think spiritually about it, what we think as Gentiles. But in the Jewish mindset, I'm going to get to you at the end what that really means. They look at it totally different. God says, I want to smile on you. That's amazing to me. Lord, lift up your countenance. See, God who is way up there, Stephen who is way down here, God said, I'm up here, Stephen, you're down here. But I want to have a relationship between us that we're smiling at each other. Wow. We're not frowning at each other. You ever seen people frown at God? I've seen it. I've seen them when they start bad-mouthing God, God talking smack about God. It's like, ooh, what are you doing? He's smiling at you and you're doing this to Him. A God that big wants to have impartation in my life. May the Lord lift up His countenance for me. He wants to be smiling at me. He wants me to be smiling at Him. So, according to this prayer, He wants to pick you up as a parent picks up a little child. The Lord is smiling at you. The Lord's smiling at you. So in the Hebrew, this is what it means. Anybody here have grandbabies? Did grandbabies tickle your heartstring?
Yes.
Remember when they're little enough where they just start walking and they can run up to you? Anybody remember that day?
Yes.
And they run up to you and you pick them up and you hold them up. Are you smiling when you do that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Tell me you're smiling when you do that. That's what it means in the Hebrew. That we run to God. Daddy God. Abba Father. And He picks us up like a little child. And He lifts us up higher than Him. Not that we are higher than Him. But in the Hebrew it says God picks us up like little children. And the smile you have towards that child is the smile God has for you. That's the smile God has for you. That's the smile God has for you. This is the proper gospel. This is the gospel of peace. This is what God said, I need the earth to know who I am and how I feel towards people. God so loved the world. He didn't hate the world. It's amazing how people want God to hate everybody, but I got news for you. He loves people. He wants to pick you up as a parent picks up a child. So, I want to come to you on bended knee and give you a gift. He did that. And the gift was salvation. I want to guard you from the world and the predators of this world. I want to guard your heart and your mind. Your person. I want to look at you eyeball to eyeball. Or face to face. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so I can see your face. I want to get personally involved in your life. I want to be there to be joy and peace. When you come into my presence, it's not just the absence of anger, of bitterness, of frustration. It's the peace that God wants us to have. His peace is totally different than that kind of peace that the world talks about. It's not just the absence of conflict. I want to be smiling at you. I want you to be smiling at me. How many know in marriage it's wonderful when you're both smiling at each other? Anybody know that?
Yep.
Am I the only guy in here that knows that? It's wonderful when you're both smiling at each other. All the men said amen, all the women said amen.
Amen.
It's brutal when you ain't smiling at each other. And lastly, God says, then I want to give you my peace. And now I'm going to get into the word peace, and it means salvation. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That He is the salvation of God. In that word, it means nothing broken, nothing missing. Wholeness of body, soul, mind, and spirit. Prosperity and health. Oh, now I know why John, that crazy writer of the Revelation, says in John 3, 3 John, verse 2, Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is the proper gospel. This is the gospel of peace.
Yes.
John knew this blessing. He had heard it all his life. And beloved, I pray, your King James says wish, but the real interpretation is, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And that is the same John who wrote the Revelations.
Yeah.
My God, do you understand what God has for you? The Lord bless you and keep you. I'll come on bended knee and bring you the gift of salvation. I'll wash your feet, Peter, even though you're going to deny me in a couple hours. My God. Philippians 4:7 says, The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. God said, you don't have to be on Prozac. You don't have to be on all that stuff. Have you ever noticed the only commercials on TV, maybe just the TV I watch, is all about all kinds of medications for everything that's wrong with you? And by the time they read the list of everything that's wrong with you, it's better to have what you have than take the disc that has all these complications with it. Headache, diarrhea, vomiting, it's like, forget it, just stay with the other, what you got? I'm not kidding, but the disclaimer, they have to do that by law now. But God said, I want you to have my peace. Not the world's peace, a peace of passive understanding, which shall keep your hearts and your minds. God said, I want you to have this peace.
Yeah.
Keeping your heart and your mind intact. Yeah, you ever have something happen and your mind starts racing? Or is it just, am I the only one that's ever done that? You know? Got a phone call. Oh man. So apparently I'm not the only one that's ever done that. And God is telling Israel, this is not Moses, this is me. This is heaven, people. Why has the church dissed this for 2,000 years and said it's a Jewish thing? It's a heavenly thing. It's the heart of God towards His people. It's the heart of God towards His believers. It's the heart of God towards His sons and His daughters. I want to pick you up. I want to come to you on bended knee. I want to guard your heart and your mind. He said, I'll shamar it. I'll put thorns around it. I want to guard you from predators. I want to look at you eyeball to eyeball, face to face. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to get personally involved in your life. I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. Wow. God says, I have thoughts and plans for each and every one of you. So the Lord bless you, Jim. He says, in that blessing, there's thoughts and plans specifically for you.
Amen.
Specifically for you, Mark. God said, I have thoughts and plans for you. Man. He's up there and I'm down here. He holds the whole world in His hand. He holds, by fact, the Bible says He holds the universe in His hand. You know that's what the Bible says? He holds the universe in His hands. And people don't want this blessing? No, God, all I'll do is go, you be gone. Think about that. Your next breath is held by His most powerful word. Your next breath you just breathed was held by His hand. And God is telling Israel, this is really, really important to me. This is really, really important to my heart because I want you to have generations that come after you that serve God, love God, and are committed to God wholly, just like you are, Abraham, just like you are, Isaac, just like you are, Jacob, just like you are, Joseph, just like you are, Ephraim, just like you are, David, just like you are, Solomon, just like you are, Zechariah, just like you are, John the Baptist, just like Jesus was. Because I got news for you. Nobody gets out of here alive. And if you go, you're going to leave somebody on the earth probably. And if you leave somebody on the earth, what have you left them with? Have you left them with an understanding and knowing God has good for them? Have you? You need to explain this to your kids. And I don't care how old they are. I don't care how old they are. You ask them, could I pray this blessing on you? Could I pray this blessing for your life? The answer might surprise you. The answer might surprise you. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Because once they let you do it, you got that right now. You got that right. There's a patriarch and a matriarch. And this isn't just something a father can do, a mother can do it too. God said, this is important, people. This blessing is powerful. It's not Jewish. It's the manifestation of Jesus Christ and His fullness in our lives as Yeshua HaMashiach, He that is the salvation of God. Can you imagine these words pronounced over your life every day, every week? What an impartation. So God told Israel, He said, you got to stand. And God said, I will come. I will bless you as you're standing and bring you a gift. The Lord bless you, the Lord kneel. Same word in Psalms. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. God said, I'm going to humble myself and send my Son, and He will kneel and give you a gift. And in return, we can do the same thing, God. We can come before the Lord and kneel before Him and bless the Lord our Maker. It's a two-way street. It's a symbiotic relationship. What a wonderful thing God has done. He said, there's reciprocity here. You worship me, watch me bless you. You love me, watch me bless you. This is the gospel of peace, brothers and sisters, that God has good for you. I'm not saying your life, everything in life is going to be a bed of roses, you're not going to deal with things. I'm saying God has thoughts and plans that are for your peace. And this is the gospel of peace because He's the Prince of Peace and the King of Peace. But we've let this be stolen by the devil for 2,000 years. Well, I got news for you. God woke me up and said, you start praying it over your people. And it's begun to come a movement all over the earth. And now you're seeing church after church after church do this. In fact, there's so many people doing it now, it's called the Stephen Heckhorn Blessing. I started it. You find somebody who started it before me, you're going to have to go back to Moses. God said, this is powerful. God said, this is the real deal. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Why wouldn't you want to pass this on, this impartation of God to your children? It's time the church get a hold of this, that this is God's heart towards us. It's Jesus manifest among us. The Creator of the universe plans for us. And I'm telling you what, this is humbling. This is humbling. You truly get this in your spirit and understand what God has done for you, it's humbling. So remember, God wants to put His name on you. Satan wants to put a number on you. God says, I'll never treat my people like numbers. I don't know about you, in this last day, you're going to need the name of God on you. You are going to need the name of God on you. God says, you're mine, I've adopted you. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the gift of salvation. And this is God's heart. To pass this blessing down generation to generation to generation. For God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim. This is the gospel of peace. This is the true gospel of peace. For it is truly the gospel of the Prince of Peace. So, what God did with Jacob, He said, Jacob, I want you to take Manasseh and Ephraim. They're standing there before you. But I want you to put the right hand on Ephraim. And I want you to put your left hand on Manasseh. And He said, this is what I want my people to know. That I will make the pain of your past, I will make the pain of your past serve your present and your future. God said, I want to bless you so much that you're blessed so much in the present you forget the pain of your past. How many know you can't go forward with the pain of your past in front of you? How many know you cannot go forward with the pain of your past in front of you? You can't go. You can't move. You will be stationary next year, the following year, 10 years from now. You'll be stationary. The pain of your past is not moved. God said, I'll take the pain of your past and I'll put it behind you. And I'll bless you to the degree that you are so blessed that you forget the pain of your past. So when Hebrews read this story, they see it a little bit differently. God wants to take the pain of my past and use it to bless my future. God wants to bless us to the degree that I forget the pain of my past. Because the blessing of God is bigger than the pain of my past was. Woo! Hallelujah! Get up! Stand up! You can't get this getting down. Stand up for the blessing. This is God's heart. This is God's word. This is God's mindset towards us. I want to look eyeball to eyeball with you. We're friends. This almost seems too good to be true. But this is the gospel of peace. Get your hands up. This is not Spock. That finger is broken from football. I can't fix it. I got to get the robe on, yeah. But it's the letter W, which represents the word Shaddai. Not the letter W, it's the letter Sheen. It looks like a W. And it's where Israel got the name El Shaddai, the mighty God, the all-sufficient one. So guys, I don't know if you can cue up this in a hurry, but I'll see if you can find Amy Grant's El Shaddai. Anybody remember when that song came out? I remember the first time I heard that song, it just touched my heart. And it blessed me. Now, there's no power in this. The power is the name, El Shaddai. But where God said, I will put my name upon the children of Israel, and I, not Moses, not Aaron, I will bless them, God is saying. So if you ask me tomorrow morning, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm waiting for God to bless me today. There's a blessing coming. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, you'll find out that there'll be blessings chasing you down. So, a lot of rabbis, when you go into meeting, this is what they'll do. And it's the letter Sheen, which looks like a W. And they will say this to you. El Shaddai, the Lord. El Shaddai, bless you and keep you. El Shaddai, the mighty God. The mighty God. That's what they're saying. El Shaddai, the Lord. El Shaddai, bless you and keep you. The Lord, El Shaddai, make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord, El Shaddai, lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And God said, will you put my name, my holy name, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yeshua, Jesus, on your children? God said, I'll bless them. I'll chase them down in the bar. I'll chase them down in the whorehouse. I'll chase them down in the crack house. You just keep praising me and worshiping me and understand they're mine. I'm coming after them. I've seen God drag people out of stuff you can't believe. Because He's El Shaddai. You receive that today? The Lord bless you and keep you. You can be seated. You guys have any luck finding that?